book of beginnings, Genesis chapter 25. And we'll begin there with verse 24. And we'll read through the end of the chapter. I think about 10, 11 verses here that we'll read tonight. And I trust that this will nourish your soul tonight. We as God's people stand in need of spiritual nourishment. And if we can't get that nourishment with one another, with the Word of God open before us in this context, and I don't know when and where we could get it. But tonight we're going to anchor our souls here in verse 24. We're going to read through the end of the chapter. We're going to see a dichotomy between Jacob and Esau. We're going to see a difference, a contrast between two boys who became men. And we're going to allow, as best, the goal through all of this is that our minds would be shaped to think the way the Scripture presents the truth, that we would think according to the truth of the Scripture. And the first impact of the Bible, which is authoritative, okay? So that's where it all starts, right? The Bible is authoritative. It's God's Word. We could ask this: do you have an authority in your life? Is there an authority in your life? I mean, something, a compass that tells you true north, south, east, west, or are you that authority? Or do you think you're the authority? I want to say the Scripture is the authority. That's the presupposition, that it comes from God and it is authoritative. It is the truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one letter of his word would pass away." So the presupposition is this is authoritative because it comes from God. And so that's where we're coming from tonight. I'm not the captain of this ship, okay? The Word of God. This is the guide, the truth. This is what leads us. This is God's Word to us. God speaking to us through His Word. So here we go. Verse 24, when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Talk about a double blessing, right? So this is Isaac and Rebekah. Rebekah is the lady referenced here. There were two twins in Rebekah's womb. Now the first came forth red, all over, like a hairy garment. They named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came forth with his hand holding on to Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when she gave birth to them. When the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But there's the contrast. Jacob was a peaceful man living in tents. So verse 27 is a key verse. Our first point will come from that verse. The story unfolds as we read 28. Now Isaac loved Esau. So Isaac the dad loved Esau, the firstborn son. Well, why? Where'd that love come from? because he had a taste for game. Literally, the language reads, he had game in his mouth. So it's a very simplistic, very beautiful way of putting it. But Isaac liked game. He liked what Esau brought from the field as a hunter. And then look at this next part. But Rebekah loved Jacob. So each parent had a darling. Isaac, Esau, Rebekah, Jacob. When Jacob had cooked stew, Esau came in from the field and he was famished. And Esau said to Jacob, please let me have a swallow of that red stuff there, for I am famished. Therefore, his name was called Edom. That's pretty interesting that Esau forevermore is identified by the name Edom, and all because he wanted a bowl of red stuff. And he wanted to gulp it down right then, to swallow. The idea there is to gulp it down. It says, for I'm famished, therefore his name was called Edom. They called him Big Red the rest of his life. But Jacob said, before we do that, let me, I want to buy your birthright. He says, first sell me your birthright. So he's, you need to understand, Esau is the firstborn. He has the inheritance. He has the birthright. And providentially, that birthright was Esau's. So he has the his birthright, and Jacob wants it. He says, first sell me your birthright. So before we get to the red stuff there that you want to gulp down because you're so famished, sell me your birthright. Esau said, behold, I'm about to die. So of what use then is the birthright to me? And Jacob said, first swear to me. So he's, you know, Jacob has got Esau right where he wants him. And so he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau what he wanted. What do you want? He wanted bread and lentil stew. He wanted that red stuff. He wanted to gulp it down. So famished. Been out hunting all day. Didn't get anything. And he drank. So he ate and drank and rose and went on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So there's three simple points that we want to bring tonight as we understand the difference between these two boys, and then in a broader scope, we understand the difference between a person of the world, meaning, let me try to double down on that, a person of the worldly world, a person whose affection is for the worldly world, and those things of the world that can satisfy their carnal appetites, and someone who has a desire for spiritual things or for the things of God. Now, this is sharp. This will cut because the word of God will make this so clear. And it's not only clear from the pages of Scripture, it's clear in the here and now. It's clear in this life that we're living. It's clear in this room that you and I are in one of these categories. We're either seeking the things of this world with reckless abandon, or we are seeking the things of God. And I want you to make no mistake about this. You can't do both. You can't do both. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. It's an impossibility. You're either leaning into God and all of the blessings and the heritage that God gives, and you want that. You're leaning into it because you want that. You want the Lord. You want the blessings of God. You want the truth. Or you're leaning into the world because you want what the world has to give. You want stuff. Maybe not that red stuff that Esau ate, but you want stuff. And you just want to gulp it down just as hard as you can, as fast as you can. And that is the two categories of people that are alive right now on planet Earth. They're either desiring the things of God or they're desiring the things of the world. So first of all, first point is Esau is the example of someone who is of the world, the worldly world. He is hell-bent on destruction, and the description of Esau is here in verse 27. Yeah. The boys grew up, okay? And we know that Esau is the firstborn, and as the firstborn, he has the birthright. Providentially, he has a right to the things of God. Isn't that interesting? And here, I can say it in different terms. You know, remember Ishmael? He was born according to what? He was born according to the flesh. Very good, Linda. I tell you. He's born according to the flesh. So he did not have a right to the things of God. Esau was the firstborn. He was not begotten of the flesh. But he minded the things of the flesh. He minded the things that the world has to offer. And that's seen when the Bible says here in verse 27 that Esau became a skillful hunter. And then it goes on to say he's a man of the field. It's just talking about a guy, he is living footloose and fancy free. He is out here in the wild, wild world. And he's just doing whatever his fleshly impulse would lead him to do. You can see that all the time. You can see that in your neighborhood. You can see that on your street. You can see that in your city. You can see that where you go to school. You can see it everywhere. Folks that are just hell-bent on destruction, just doing whatever feels good. That's Esau. He's a worldly man. And then we have the contrast, but Jacob. Jacob was what? He was a peaceful man. And Jacob was known for living in tents. Now, one thing's for sure. Neither one of these two guys are perfect. Neither one of them are perfect. But we do see a difference in the desire. Esau, he's out here, he's just looking for the next animal to shoot or trap or whatever to kill and eat. He's doing what he wants. He's driven by his impulses. Jacob, he's living in a tent. Most shepherds lived in tents. So we're thinking of the shepherd theme around Jacob while we think about the hunter theme when we think of Esau. And it's interesting. Esau, a man of the world. Jacob, one who is peaceful, more of a shepherd lifestyle. And then Jacob, we see him cooking stew in verse 29. He's cooking stew. So we've got Esau established as a man of the world, Jacob not so much. And Jacob is cooking stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please let me have a swallow of that red stuff, for I am famished." Therefore his name was called Edom. In verses 29 and 30, and really 31, 32, 33, 34, we see that Esau is a man not only of the world, but he is a man driven by fleshly appetites. And we see the hunter is kind of being hunted right here. Now, it's interesting that in this passage, Jacob is never called out by Moses, who's the writer, or by God for being a swindler. Because technically he doesn't swindle Esau out of his birthright. He does some degree of manipulation, but Esau goes into this with his eyes wide open. This is not something secret going on. It's happening. And Jacob is never called out for being a manipulator or a swindler, while Esau is called out for despising his birthright. So right here, Esau is willing to sell out. He is willing to give up what God had providentially given him in this birthright as a spiritual heritage. But Esau says no. Esau was willing to give up that treasure of God, of a spiritual heritage, for a bowl of red stuff, for lentil stew. And he says he was willing to do that because he was famished. And Jacob says, "Sell me your birthright." Interestingly enough, Jacob desires the birthright more than Esau. So I want you to think about this. Jacob is not wrong for desiring better things. Now, the way he went about it was going to be a learning, a teachable moment for the children of Israel. You don't lay hold of spiritual blessings the way Jacob did here. But Jacob is blessed because the promise, well, God providentially gave the birthright to Esau. The promise of the birthright goes to Jacob because Esau was willing to give it up. And he gave it up because he was a man of the world, and he gave it up because he was a man of the flesh. And the bottom line is, you know what? He wasn't about to die. You know, how many excuses do people give for not pursuing God and not pursuing God's blessings? How many excuses do people give for not fellowshipping with the saints, not opening their Bible and reading? All kinds of excuses. It's so bad. It's so bad. And I'm so busy. But no. Behold, I'm about to die doesn't cut it. And then he justified. So of what use then is the birthright to me? And Jacob said, "First swear to me." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, fulfilled what he said he would do. And Esau, and see if this reminds you of anything. Listen to this. Here's the sin, really, right? And he ate and drank and rose, went on his way. It sounds like what happened in the garden. Because Eve took and she gave and the eight, and they were ultimately banished from the garden. Point number three, and we're done. Esau despised his birthright. You know, it wasn't enough that he counted his birthright as worthless, but he despised it. Meaning, if that birthright was a physical thing, he would have thrown it in the dirt and walked all over it. He despised his birthright, meaning he despised spiritual things. You see how this attitude toward God and toward his word and toward spiritual blessings gradually just takes over the human heart. You see it here with Esau despising his birthright. So tonight, I want to conclude with this question. We'll look at a couple New Testament scriptures just kind of liven things up a little bit tonight. Matthew 5, verse 6. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." And that righteousness that we hunger and thirst for is that imputed righteousness. It is that righteousness that comes from Jesus. It's that righteousness that you and I do not possess on our own. We are gifted the righteousness of Jesus at salvation. And then we walk it out in sanctification. And that's not an overnight type thing. It's not a, you know, somebody waves their hand and all of a sudden you're a righteous person to the core. That's not the way it works. Sanctification is gradual. In a practical way, living it out, becoming more and more like Jesus as the days go by. So tonight, as we conclude, what are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? Are you hungry for that stuff the world's got to offer? A lot of stuff. And that's a nice way to put it. There's so much human wisdom circulating in our world, it's not even funny. There's so much human wisdom coming out from places you would never think would be advocating or propagating human wisdom. There is human wisdom seeping from pastors' mouths today. Today. And it might not have been so a month ago, but it is so today. There is human wisdom seeping from churches and denominations. In fact, I have never been so glad to be an independent Baptist church in my life. I am so happy. I'm ecstatic about that. There is human wisdom out there. What are you hungry for? Some of you are lapping up that stuff. It doesn't do you any good. You need to go for the good stuff. And that's the truth of God's word coming to bear on our minds and hearts and shaping the way we think and look at the world and behave in Christian conduct and deportment. Blessed, Jesus said, blessed, happy are those who what? Hunger and thirst for righteousness, and that's personal. For what? They shall be satisfied. Ultimately, who was satisfied in our story? Was it Esau or was it Jacob? I think we all know the answer to that. Yeah, Esau, maybe for just a moment while he gulped that stuff down, but ultimately, the satisfaction, the true contentment was all for Jacob. And you can find that out as you read the rest of the story. And then we flip on over here. Oh, there's a couple more scriptures. Let's read the one from 1 John, and then we'll read the last one from Hebrews chapter 12. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, a very familiar scripture passage. Where we are told, we are encouraged, we are commanded by the word of God, do not love the world. Do not. So in the story, Which one of the boys loved the world? Was it Esau or was it Jacob? It was Esau. Esau was the worldly. He's the one that loved the world. He was the one that, driven by fleshly impulses, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, listen to this, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, he's going to tell us what's in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And just in case anyone forgets, don't forget this, he says, listen to this, the world is passing away. So all of that worldliness out here that people pursue, people like Esau pursue with all their heart, all their mind, all everything they've got. They put it, you know, it's like those old beer commercials. Go for the gusto. You got to grab and go for it right now. Listen, never forget this. He says the world is passing away, and with it its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. What a promise. And then one more passage, and this will be of particular interest to you tonight, because this is the New Testament perspective on Esau. Well, what did the New Testament Bible writer say about Esau? Well, we're going to read it. I'm going to start in verse 14. And this is in direct contrast to the people of faith, the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Esau is not in Hebrews chapter 11. Why? Because Esau was not a man of faith. Esau was a man of the world. He was a man consumed with fleshly lust. And that third point, I just now realized I forgot to give it to you. The third point is, not only was he a worldly man, not only was he a fleshly man, but he was a callous man. He was a callous individual. He despised the things of God. He despised his birthright. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 12. This is the word of God to you and to me and to every Christian. Every Christian. Pursue peace with all men. And the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. That no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. Why did he sell that birthright? Because he didn't care about the spiritual heritage that God had providentially given to him. He didn't care about it. So he sold it, and he forfeited that spiritual blessing. He says, for you know that even afterwards, when he, that is Esau, this worldly, fleshly, callous individual, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. You say, well, how's that? Sounded like he was genuine. Sounded like he wanted repentance. He's got tears flowing down his face. Nope. You know what Esau wanted? He wanted his birthright, all right, but he wanted to go on doing the same thing he'd always done. He didn't want a heart change. He wanted to pursue worldly things. He wanted to be a fleshly, carnal individual. He was callous, and all he wanted was what he wanted. He wanted the best of both worlds. And God says, that's not the way it works. That's not the the way it works. What are you hungry for tonight? What are you hungry for tonight? The things of God, the spiritual blessings, the truth of God's word coming to bear on our hearts and our lives, forming us and shaping us into the image of Jesus? Or are you hungry for the stuff that's being served up out there in the world? Father in heaven,